Welcome to the Brampton Talks podcast. My name is Nikita Brown.
I am Jaskaran Sandhu.
And I'm Sushil Taylor.
Today on the podcast, we're talking about Brampton Cybersecurity Center, Missus Exit, and MPs versus MPPs. Brampton's Cybersecurity Center is poised to get funding from the federal government. Today we're talking about how it all started and what we can expect in the future.
I believe Jaskaran has some good information about
this. So why don't we give some context before we started? So Ryerson recently approached the city. This has been in the works for a long time, as you're going to be able to tell from Jaskaran's story. But Ryerson officially approached the city back a couple of months ago, asking for $5 million to build a cybersecurity center. And now the new development is that the federal government has announced quite a bit of money towards cybersecurity projects over the next 4 years. And props to Brampton, because we were actually mentioned in the budget as one of those projects that's, you know, a good example of what we can expect in the future. So Brampton has a good opportunity to get some money now.
Cybersecure Catalyst, that is what this thing is being called. And what is it? It's an innovation center that's going to look at cybersecurity, which is a huge concern around the world. And Ryerson wants to leverage the space that exists in this industry to kind of be the premier institution that does work in the space. How did this happen? How did this start? Why Brampton? And I wanted to share the story because I thought it was interesting, and it kind of gave you guys a background behind the scenes look at what happens in like a mayor's office. So when conversations were going on with Ryerson about setting up shop here in Brampton, and the ball was moving and everyone was kind of excited, there was also conversations about, well, what can Ryerson bring to Brampton that's unique and different? And Ryerson is known for what's called the DMZ. So there were some conversations about setting up...
What's the DMZ?
Well, the DMZ is it's like an incubation innovation center for startups. You know, a general space. It doesn't really matter what industry you're working in. They have zones in it that are specific to certain industries. But in general, it's a space where if you have a cool idea and they like your idea, they'll bring you to your space. And it's like almost like a co-working space where you can get a bunch of different resources from a bunch of different industries and experts to help you get your startup off the ground. So that's what the DMZ is. There was conversations about, well, can we bring a DMZ-like institution with Ryerson to Brampton? And it became apparent to, at this time, the conversation was largely with Muhammad Dinani, who was the senior advisor to Muhammad Lashmi, who was the president of Ryerson. It was Shiriram, who was the policy director of policy for Mayor Jeffrey. And then there was myself. At the time, I was director of comms, and I did special projects. And the university was one of those projects that I was working on. So the three of us were kind of brainstorming about, you know, there has to be a unique angle for Ryerson and Brampton. What is it? It can't be the DMZ, or not at least the traditional sense of the DMZ, because the city is just not that big. Like the startup scene here is just not large enough. How are we attracting startups that are not in the city to Brampton if we just have a generic DMZ light, right? They'd rather be where the action's happening in Toronto or in Waterloo, where there's a larger ecosystem of many diverse players. So the conversation went back and forth. Like, you know, what's the niche? What do we do? Is it agri, like food security, because we do have a lot of food processing plants in Brampton? Is it advanced manufacturing, because you have Chrysler and we have other big players here in the manufacturing industry? But like when we do our due diligence and do our homework, we kind of found that there's other cities and other spaces already acting as leaders in those industries, in those verticals, right, that exist in the innovation sector. Then in the middle of the night, Muhammad Lashmi sends an email and sends it to Shiriram and myself. And it's a link to a big hack that just happened. And he's like, guys, what about cybersecurity? So that's actually where this all started. And the three of us just went right away. We all had the same reaction, like, fuck yeah, like that actually makes a lot of sense. And we just started going ham, right? We started going really hard at this the next day. We started reaching out to every network we had. We started reaching out to people that were in the space. We went really hard at it. And to give credit to Mayor Jeffrey at the time, she provided Shiriram and myself the space and the opportunity to go do that freely without much interference. Not allowing us to kind of devote the time needed for it. So people ask, like, you know, what do you guys even do at the mayor's office? What's even going on? Do you guys even do anything? this whole thing happened in the mayor's office. Like, this is where the conversation happened. And it's awesome to see it blossom into the cybersecure catalyst. At the time, the working name was the Global Center for Cybersecurity. The amount of conversations I had in the C-suites across the GTHA with big players in the space during my time at the mayor's office, they're great stories. I'm not going to disclose much more than that because I'm sure a lot of these conversations are still active, but like, it's pretty awesome to kind of see it come to fruition and that this is actually going to happen.
Yeah. So, it's exciting. It's really, really exciting. I love that Ryerson's kind of figured out a way around this whole cancellation of the funding. Because that was a big deal for us to have that cut. They've figured out a way to cement themselves into the city. This is going to be huge for Brampton. Like, I know we're not getting a full-fledged university. This is kind of the next best thing that can happen. We're creating a new opportunity for the city. We're going to be bringing new talent here. We're going to be establishing ourselves as an integral part of this whole country because this is one of the only cybersecurity centers in all of Canada.
Yeah, well, it would be the main one. There's one in New Brunswick. There's University of New Brunswick has a center where they do some cybersecurity work as well, and I think IBM's a big player there. But we would be the next player in the game, and the big difference between us and a place like New Brunswick or the Maritimes is that Brampton is in the center of the innovation corridor between Waterloo and Toronto, and it goes back to the conversation that we were having that day in those days in the mayor's office. It's what is the unique place where the city of Brampton could stand out as a global player and of global interest, it's cybersecurity. So getting this off the ground is going to be huge. And I'm telling you, this is going to attract very big players in the public sector, the private sector, everywhere. Anyone who has to deal with cybersecurity was part of these conversations by the time we shut down the mayor's office for the election.
And I'd like to know, like, everybody has to deal with cybersecurity. It's not even...
It's universal.
There's no like one particular industry where it's like perhaps it's more important in banking or industries where you are regulated by PIPEDA and stuff like that. But generally speaking, everybody needs it. Nothing on the internet is truly secure. There's always, gray hat and black hat hackers are always, pushing the edge in terms of what's secure and what's not secure. And having Brampton stay on the forefront of that, number one, there's always going to be something for researchers here to do. Mm-hmm. Number one, there's always going to be different areas of cybersecurity that's going to be like very important to research.
Mrs. Exit continues. Mayor Brownie Crombie and Mayor Patrick
Brownie Crombie?
Brownie, did I really say that? Yikes.
You've amalgamated our mayors.
Speaking of amalgamation. Mrs. Exit is in full swing. Mayor Bonnie Crombie and Mayor Patrick Brown have had a few things to say the past week about the future breakup potentially of the two cities.
I got to the point where the last time we spoke about this, I'm like, this is probably the last time we're going to speak about this. What other relevant information are we going to share that we haven't mentioned already? But here we are yet again. This is like round three now.
Ding, ding, ding. I don't know who's winning, but so maybe Mississauga.
Well, Mississauga's going the nuclear option now.
Yeah, absolutely. They put a motion through last week to sever all ties with Brampton and Caledon. They want to be their own city. They identify that in their motion. They also said they categorically reject amalgamation in their motion. Now, at this point, they voted this through. Great, that's all good and well. The decision is still up to the province, so it's not like it's a done deal. Like, that's cute that they tried that, but at the end of the day, it still comes down to the province making the decision.
I think from what we've seen in terms of the province, they've just been trying to centralize a lot of things. They centralized... when it came to city council in Toronto, they kind of centralized things. They reduced the number of city councillors. They're now uploading TTC upwards to Metrolinx, so that's also another mode of centralization. I think the province is probably going to be more prone to something like amalgamation than splitting up jurisdictions.
Allowing Mississauga to separate would just not align at all with provincial behavior and the PC behavior. It would be an absolute outlier in the way that they've been governing.
Wouldn't make any sense.
There's this weird reading of economics of economies of scale at like all costs that's been happening with the provincial government. I don't see that happening. I'm probably going to see that happening with Peel Region as well.
Well, yeah, and the other example would be Metro Toronto, like back in the day when they were like a regional governance system themselves and the city of Toronto would complain all the time. There's this great opinion piece. It's escaping me who wrote it. It was going around the last couple of days. you know, Toronto would complain all the time, like Mississauga was, what happened? They amalgamated everyone, right? Yeah. And I think, again, if you look at precedent, if you look at the behavior of this provincial government, they're going to look at Peel and be like, we'll just slap these two cities together and we'll save a lot of time. The bigger question would be whether or not Caledon will be included in amalgamation, or will they be put into a different region that's more rural like them? Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, Bonnie versus Patrick Brown here is kind of becoming like one of the main shows to watch here in the entire province. Forget about just Peel.
Yeah, I mean, it's become a he said, she said. Bonnie saying Mississauga's paid for, you know, the majority of the things in the region. Patrick Brown is saying, well, you know, if you guys leave, that's a giant tax bill, or, you know, giant amount of money you're gonna have to be giving back to Brampton because we've paid for your development. So they've kind of gone back and forth. I believe that Bonnie Crombie released a report on her website with proof, and I'm doing air quotations because some of this stuff is still a little bit fuzzy.
Well, it's politicking right now.
Absolutely. That's basically outlining all the things and ways Mississauga has spent money over the years and given into the region. Now, we haven't really looked critically at, yes, Mississauga, there's no doubt that Mississauga pays more of the taxes in Region of Peel. Obviously, they have more citizens and they're a bigger city at this point.
Yeah, more regional councillors.
They have more regional councillors. So they've paid. I know they say that they have a 50% share, so they can never do what they want to do. But the reality is they drive 90% of the decisions on council.
Well, they have a majority. The whole point is to have 50% share. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah. And if you look at the regional chair, it's always been a person from Mississauga. So they've always had the upper hand no matter what. So, I mean, maybe that's come at a premium. They've had to pay more. But that's the reality is that, yes, they paid more, but they also drive most of the decisions.
Brampton Callan paid for the development of Mississauga to go to its borders and now up. Now it's time to kind of return those favors back. And you can't complain. Like, it's just not fair. Put everything else aside. Plus, like, again, why would Mississauga be separated from the rest of the region? Like, under what circumstances is that? That's aligns with how the province will operate. My suggestion to Mayor Crombie would be get ready for amalgamation. And get ready for an election with Patrick Brown.
So that's the question is, let's say, I mean, this is, it's looking like that would be the realistic thing for the province to do. So just amalgamate the two cities. Who would win in an election?
Patrick Brown.
Yeah, I don't see, like, maybe I'm just not as familiar with all of Mississauga, but like the northern half of Mississauga, I can see going Patrick Brown, like that Mississauga-Malton area.
Yeah.
I can see that going Patrick Brown. I can see the city of Brampton obviously going Patrick Brown. And then it gets a little trickier.
I can see Mississaugans that are angry with amalgamation going for Patrick Brown.
Mm-hmm. You blame Bonnie for like failing on her separation bid.
Yeah, and even better, you know,
being mad at the province.
It's a nice fuck you to the province.
That is very true. The thing to consider though is Bonnie won with over 70% of the vote the last election. That's a pretty sizable chunk.
She had no competition as well.
Yeah, right? That's something critical to look at.
She had no competition. And mind you, the municipal election, not the last one, but the one before that, she was actually in a very tight race. I think the polling showed her losing at one point. If my memory serves me right, but it was close nonetheless until Hazel McCallie made that final endorsement at like the 11th hour that put Mayor Crombie over the top. It's not like, you know, Mayor Crombie just has like this huge groundswell of support. The Hazel factor is going to be a big one.
Well, that's the thing. Who does Hazel?
Because Hazel is also very fond of Patrick Brown.
Exactly. So who does she endorse? That's another question.
Yeah, you can see like the Hazel Davis and combo endorsement for Patrick Brown.
Oh my God!
And I don't know how important, because the Davis endorsement means nothing, but the Hazel one still has some weight in Mississauga. So it'll be interesting to see how those two, you know, act in an amalgamated mayoral race. But don't leave it out of question that Patrick Brown can win this. Mel Lastman won in Toronto, and when they first amalgamated, and it's not like Mel Lastman was like. I think he's more like Patrick Brown than he is like Bonnie Crombie.
Yeah.
I think Mayor Crombie's more the establishment vote. Patrick Brown is like the wild card.
Well, at this point, yeah. I mean, he's kind of like the anti-province, right? Yeah. At this point. So it will be really interesting to see. I think we've all kind of agreed that there's no way the province is going to sever the two cities and make Brampton its own city and Mississauga its own city. That's probably like the least likely thing to happen. Either we stick to the same.
What would Doug Ford do? remove
we don't even really
the
know.
Possibility of Patrick Brown being mayor by amalgamating two cities.
That's more likely.
Or separating two cities and Patrick Brown is still mayor and he has to deal with Patrick Brown, you know, if he wants to deal with Brampton.
Yeah, I think that's a safe rule of thumb. Yeah. Like, they, what is the easiest route to screw over Patrick Brown for Doug Ford?
Yeah.
That is the route he'll take.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't really factor in the fact that you can't really underestimate Patrick Brown, right? So this will be an interesting thing for us to watch. I think we've already established it the last few times we've talked about this that we are not opposed to amalgamation. So we're just waiting over here. We're ready, Doug Ford.
Beam us up.
In just a week, Brampton MPs and MPPs have been facing off over issues. First, there was the pedophile that was sent to Brampton, and now MPs are arguing that the province is slowing down the flow of funds to municipalities. On Friday, Peel Police, they released a statement saying that a high-risk offender was being released into Brampton, an individual who was convicted, I believe it was three times for sexual assault, three convictions against children that happened across the country, literally. So the question was, A, why was this person being released into Brampton? B, why was this person being released at all? Because they were clearly convicted three times. And C, why were they being released into a high-risk area? So I believe they were going to be released into the Queen and Main area, so downtown Brampton, where there's Garden Square, lots of events happen for families, Gage Park, lots of kids spend time there in the summer, and there's a splash pad and a number of daycares and schools in the area.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks felt like, well, here it is again, Brampton just getting screwed over, and no one actually cares about the ramifications of their decisions on Brampton, and so... It is what it is.
And the big point here is pedophiles have a higher rate of recidivism, you know, like just reoffending in general. It's just a thing that happens. And it's just like, why do we want to put them closer to children in Brampton?
Which has the youngest population in all of Canada.
Yeah. So it's a place where there's a lot of young families, a lot of young kids, children. A lot of the parks that are busy with kids. It's a place with tons of schools.
And they thought, hey, let's put a fucking pedophile in this city of all the cities in Canada.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they thought that it was going to be covert, but it wasn't, because that press release got shared on Friday and it spread like wildfire. It was all over social media by Friday evening.
I think she's from the West Coast. So yes. you're dumping her in the other side of the country. Where she has no kind of networks or support networks or anything of the sort, and you kind of just have her fend for herself in a high-risk area. Something about that seemed really off to a lot of Bramptonians. And the reaction was swift, as you're saying. Like, the MPs were very swift.
Yes, the mayor.
Condemning. The mayor was quick in condemning. The councillors were quick in condemning. And so you had this almost like MPs versus everyone else type scenario that started playing out in Brampton. And a lot of them were on their heels, our MPs.
Absolutely.
It's not like the MPs could have done much. It's not like the feds could have. Like, it was like an independent process that resulted in this. But it's just like, hey, how?
Yeah, and I think the call was to the feds to do something to either, I believe the mayor wanted the person to be removed from the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a complicated situation because pedophiles have to live somewhere too. Maybe not an area that's high risk, but they do have to live somewhere too. They do have charter rights that need to be protected as well. But the feds were called out pretty strongly by the community to fix it. I think that that's kind of... I don't know. That's the knee-jerk reaction for everybody.
Into it, and
that is what they said.
The responses were a little timid, like from the MPs and from the federal government. But the other thing that kind of stood out for me was, again, here's another example where Patrick Brown is able to leverage like communication platforms. Like, he's able to leverage the media in his favor. They're willing to come and cover him when he talks. Like, the old days of just stepping on Brampton and Brampton not having any way to sway media coverage of anything. Are over. Like,
for sure.
I think Patrick Brown has been very effective and able to sway media coverage.
And the reality is, too, I don't think he's afraid to step on any toes. could say that he doesn't really have any sort of... Exactly. Yeah. No, not really strong allies, which is a good and bad thing. But in this case, it helps that he can call people out and it won't bat two eyelashes to do it, right?
And he's proven effective at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the second issue, obviously, you know, the MPs and MPPs are... a little bit of conflict over that. Second thing is some infrastructure dollars that were supposed to flow down to municipalities that hasn't been. So back 2 years ago, the feds approved $180 billion over 12 years to go towards infrastructure projects across Canada. That funding is supposed to flow to municipalities from the province. Now, the city of Brampton has a $245 million infrastructure gap, obviously, that they're looking to fill and pay for things.
And so, that might be more difficult depending on how this property tax decision goes down in council this week.
Absolutely. So there's that issue. But the big thing here is that the feds are calling on the province to open up the streams of funding because it's now almost April. Construction season is supposed to start soon, but they haven't opened up the streams for municipalities to be able to apply for money. Now, there are a few reasons they probably want that money to flow. Obviously, Brampton needs money, just like other cities. But it's an election year. They want projects to be funded, and the province has been dragging their feet, opening up the funding streams.
Yeah, I think the fun part here has been watching MPs and MPPs just call each other out. You're starting to see growing animosity between our PC and NDP MPPs and our federal MPs, right?
Who happen to be liberal.
Yeah. You're starting to see more animosity. And I think also you're seeing...
Sounds like election year.
The election year is coming. Yeah. But here's the other thing. I think for a fact, the liberal MPs know their seats aren't as safe as they were 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Not only are they dealing with issues within, a very strategically important Sikh community, which is like half the city's population almost, that are upset with a lot of ways our Liberal MPs have dealt with Sikh files. You also have now mainstream like city issues that are also a big issue for our Liberal MPs. You have this pedophile thing that throws a curveball at them. Like there's a lot of knocks coming. And then last but not least, you got Jagmeet Singh.
Yeah. Who's won a seat.
Who's won a seat here. You got three NDP candidates
here. And he could very well run in Brampton next time around.
And he might. So you're going to see a lot of that progressive or center-left vote that the Liberals relied on for the majority slip away.
Yeah.
There is an impact with Jagmeet Singh running here. You add all these things up and you see a reason for more conflict because it's every single vote matters now.
Yeah.
And Liberal MPs will do everything in their power to... No, effectively, how can we blame the other guys? And to be fair, you'll see it from the other side as well.
To be fair, right? Like, when we're talking about federal transfers, if the federal transfer has to go through the province, and the assumption with federal transfer is that it is spread evenly within the province, then it is absolutely fair for the federal MPs to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you should go to the province and tell them why are you getting money?
That Doug Ford is not for the people? Like he will be stopping money for the people.
Oh, no. Why would I ever say that?
That makes no sense.
Doug Ford is the people's premier. Crazy talk.
Yes. He would give as many dollars as he can to the people.
Of course.
And horses.
Yeah.
Well, horses are people too.
Horses especially, yes. Yeah.
The horses. It's all about the horses. I think that's the most annoying thing here is that the money is freaking there. It is sitting there waiting to be allocated and distributed, and they're just dragging their feet. And I think, you know, MP Ruby Sahota, she released a statement and a letter to Brampton Council asking them to speak with the province and to, you know, amp up the fire a little bit under their butts. And she makes a valid point that it is almost April. Like, these projects need to get underway ASAP. Like, what is Brampton going to look like? There's going to be no construction projects going on?
Yeah, well, and like, how do you make federal transfers direct to cities without making it direct to every city? It's like Brampton just can't be the special case.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, yeah, like I feel like the province is the problem here, you know, despite whatever the feds want to fund.
Look, I can't say why there's a delay or what it is, and I'm sure there's a good reason.
There's probably not a good reason.
There's probably a very valid reason why the People's Premier is slowing these down. What I find actually interesting, and this is just me as a human being, I find like the political pettiness very intriguing. I love it.
I just hate it. I just want watching
everyone. Kind of continuation of like the pedophile conversation we're having, the pedophile coming into a high risk area.
Yep.
Like the MPPs were quick to denounce the MPs.
Yeah.
And the MPs are quick to denounce the MPPs. Like we are gearing up for an election season and everyone be ready for that.
That is all from the Brampton Talks podcast. We are now releasing the podcast every Wednesday, so you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or you can find the podcast on Apple Music, Google Play, or Spotify.